Now it is my pleasure to bring up a gentleman who's really going to be leading us quite significantly through the next 2 days. You'll get to know Deacon Ralph Poyo. He is the founder of New Evangelization Ministries. His method is really to do just exactly what Jesus did, which is to work with the disciples to send the word out. And so he's working with us in that way, and that's the ministry that the Lord has put on his heart. Deacon Ralph and his wife Susan are the parents of 5 daughters. Apparently, like a couple of them have already been married off, but perhaps later we'll pass a basket for him. I don't know. So without further ado, Deacon Ralph Poyo.
Good morning. The real reason they had me come is because they knew that I was a hobbit deacon, and I'm short enough that when the screen goes, I don't actually block the screen. So we've got just a few minutes and we're going to put you to work. But what we wanted to show you for this conference, our time, is that you're not going to just come and sit like a bump on a log and watch a bunch of talks and then maybe think, gosh, I hope today's going to be valuable. We don't want that at all. We want to create an environment where we're going to begin to immediately put you to work with tools, gaining tools on what we need to do. And you need to understand that I'm sure we've all experienced it. The bishop referenced this earlier about the circumstances that are happening in our parishes. There is a culture out there that has influenced our people, and they're influencing them away from us. We are even a part of that influence. We've experienced that. I dare say you experienced it when you came in, because when you found out you weren't sitting next to your group. If you're anything like me, you probably came and, oh man, how many thoughts came through your mind that maybe weren't quite so charitable? And then what are the other thoughts? You see, these are the same things that your people that you're trying to minister to are constantly dealing with. And one of the things that I've learned in ministry very quickly is that you can't give what you don't have. You can't give it. And so we want to be able to equip you this day with some very practical tools on what do we need to do to start beginning to make inroads into the hearts of the parishioners we're called to serve. And it all starts with one place, and that's where we're going to begin. If you don't love the souls that you are trying to evangelize, how effective do you really believe your evangelization is going to be? If you don't love the souls of the individuals you're trying to save, how effective do you believe your evangelization efforts are going to be? I don't know about you, but when we come into a space like this, you know what happens? We come in and we're immediately insulated, are we not? And then we find ourselves sitting at a table with people we don't know, and that insulation is thick, isn't it? It's so thick that oftentimes we can't even see the people we're with. So what we'd like you to do is, we're going to put up on the screen in just a second some basic information questions. And we'd like you to go around your table right now. When I say go, and you're going to be timed, and after this, I'm going to select individuals around the room and maybe some people back there who will be able to tell us information about people who are sitting at their table based on the questions we put up. You will be tested. So be prepared. So please, I know, you know, we always have to have some person facilitate, and it's always the short people that get overlooked. So I'm going to say that the shortest person at your table today begins this first conversation. You have just a few minutes. Ready, set, go. You have 3 minutes left. 3 minutes. 3 minutes. <laughs> 10 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Time's up. Hands up. I saw it on a cooking show one time. It just looked cool. I don't know. Here's what we're going to do. I've been instructed, because the camera, they can't see me if I go down. Something about being too short. They told me that I need to stay on stage, and so I'm just going to have to randomly pick people from here. And we've got people with roving microphones that are going to walk around. So here's one beautiful young lady over here. Could you walk all the way over here, walk back there, keep walking back to table 79? 79, and I see, you know, and I generally pick people who avoid eye contact with me. And so the lady right there, the lady right there with a beautiful purple shirt. Let's select her.
You wore a bright color.
So your name is?
My name is Sharon.
Hi. Could you tell me who the gentleman sitting across with you, that excellent hairdo, kind of like mine?
Joe.
What is his name? Joe?
Joe.
Beautiful. And what parish does Joe belong to?
Joe belongs to St. Mary's Cathedral.
Oh, the cathedral.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, so we've got some pretty impressive people at my table.
We do. Okay.
Yeah, we do.
And what about the lady directly to your left? Her name is?
That's Julie.
And what does she do in her parish?
She is a principal, and it's from St. Francis Assisi in Ann Arbor.
Wonderful.
Look at you doing pretty good with me. I'm a, yeah,
woman, you
my memory
got it.
Is,
awesome.
Yeah.
Give her a hand. That was great. Where are we over here? Why don't you go to table 27? Table 27, raise your hand. Well, that's all of y'all. Last one to raise his hand, we're picking that person. I believe that was Father, wasn't it? No? Okay, it's hard to see. You know what? You pick a random person. You pick one of those people. Come on. Don't be a chicken. Just do it. Perfect. Wonderful. Oh, we did pick Father. Is it Father?
It is.
Father forgive me, for I have sinned. Okay, so, yeah. Father, what I need you to do is to tell me the person in the tan shirt across the table from you, who they are and what parish they belong to.
This is Tony. He's not actually from a parish. He's from the Lumen Christi out in Jackson. He's the assistant principal there.
Okay, wonderful. And to his left, who is that?
That's Keith. Oh,
no, his left.
His left. Thank you. I appreciate that. This is Ellen Ward. She's from St. Francis in Ann Arbor.
Awesome. Wonderful. Thank you. Give Father a hand. Not bad. I worked as a youth minister for 27 years, and then I had the pleasure of becoming a director of faith formation at a parish, and I was in charge of all education from cradle to grave for 7 years, and then the Lord said, it's time to go. And for the last 7 years, I've basically been a full-time evangelist, doing a lot of consulting with parishes on evangelization, discipleship. How do we take what we've got going right now and transform it so that our parishes can actually become disciple-making factories? I mean, wouldn't it be cool if people really encountered the risen Christ in a profound way? If that's, if the place where that happened was the Catholic Church? Right? Awesome. So since I've been out, one of the things I did at the very beginning is I would offer to pastors, let me come and just do an evaluation at your parish, what a visitor might experience. And the first year I went to 5 parishes. The Father didn't announce me. I just kind of dressed like everybody else. And I went to all the masses. And I went to as many of the church activities in 5 days. And then I would sit down and write a report on what I encountered. Or what would a visitor coming to your parishes experience? And I'll tell you, this is my conclusion. If I was looking for the love of God, I would never go to a Catholic church. I'm not trying to be harsh or painful, but you know how it goes. That formation that we received in the world out there to put up the walls and insulate ourselves, let's be honest, when we go into church, we don't necessarily make it our business to sit down and find out who's sitting next to us, do we? We come in, we worship God, we hope, and then we go home. And there's no real interaction. Now, obviously, we have rubrics in the Mass. We're not going to mess up with the rubrics in the Mass. But that still says something about somebody who's coming to our parishes who's looking for God. And what are we doing? You see, if you don't even want to know my name, how could you ever share with me the gospel of Jesus Christ? And that's one of the first obstacles we have to overcome, is how do we lead our people? Has to be leading them, because we've tried to tell them, and how's that worked for you? Yeah, uh-huh. We've tried manipulating them, and how has that worked for you? The only way it's going to work is if we lead them. We draw them into this process. We draw them into this experience of sharing the life of Christ together. And that's really the critical key that we want to try to accomplish in these times. So if we have you sitting at tables because we want to begin to foster a dynamic for us where we can have dialogues, as you guys have already experienced. We want you to dig in. We want you to work carefully with each other. And of course, we want to model for you how these small group dynamics can actually function in the midst of a group of strangers. What a novel idea. Let's separate you from your comfortable parish groups and put you with strangers. That's a good idea. Oh, we've already done that. Great. So now that you're here, here's what we want you to do regarding a small group. Obviously, when you're dealing with a small group dynamic, and I'm going to tell you the first and best couple of ways to kill a small group dynamic. One is one person who's facilitating the group talks the entire time. Immediate death. Second one is if all the members of your group come with the mask on and keep it on for the duration of the group. Because then there's no real faith sharing. There's no real journey of the struggle of how difficult it is to walk with Jesus Christ on a day-to-day basis. You see, I don't know about you, but people like me, us short people, us hobbits, you know, we look at you holy people that work in these churches, and we've come to believe that we could never be as good as you. We could never be as holy as you, because that's the way you look to us. And so if I just see a mask, then all I see is perception of you've got your stuff together, and I couldn't even go to confession, because what would Father think if I told him really all the things that I've done? We're so busy trying to create this image or persona with these masks. And what small group needs to do is to help take those off and really just have a serious conversation. What is God doing in our lives? What is he doing? What's the challenge? Why is it so difficult? Is anybody else struggling out there besides me? And that's going to be the challenges of small groups. That's why we need them, because you know what? I'll be honest with you. Everywhere I go, I'm watching a bunch of people in parishes learn how to play church, and they do it really well. But that's not what Jesus is asking of us. The bishop was very clear on that. Jesus is asking us not to look like the church. He wants us to be the church, to be the body of Christ, to be the conduits of love from which any person who comes into my parish could possibly experience the life and love of the Holy Spirit who flows through me because I choose to go and love someone, because I choose to be present to them, even though it's not in my ministry field. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I don't do that because I'm just on the finance council. No, I'm sorry. Before you do anything in or for the church, you are first and foremost a disciple of Jesus Christ, his disciple. So as we go through today, you know, obviously we know that the person who makes us is the Holy Spirit. That's why evangelization is so critically important, and we're really going to unpack that today. How do we connect people to the heart of God, to the Spirit? How do we connect them in such a way that they know they have encountered the risen Christ? It has to be a sincere knowledge of that. And so what we're going to do is we're going to ask you to facilitate small groups. So the person who... my short hobbit friends and brothers and sisters out there who weren't first this time. For the next small group segment we're going to have right now, you get to pick the next person, and that's how we play the game from this point on. The person who just finished leading will let the next person go. So let's talk about some ground rules that we want to be able to work in our groups. First and foremost, whenever you're going to have a small group, you need to set expectations. What is it we're really trying to accomplish? Yeah, if you look in your books on page 6, there's a list of things there that you'll be able to see of what's going on. Set the expectations. So imagine if I'm sitting down and we're just getting ready to get started. The very first thing that I want to do is my expectation is I want God to be present. So I'm going to invoke the Holy Spirit's presence every time. Come, Holy Spirit, you guide this conversation. You lead us, you direct us, and you protect us. And then I would begin to say the expectations of what I'm hoping everyone else here comes to do. If I had to facilitate a small group here today, I'd be saying something like, you know, we could come here and we could just float through the day and hope the day gets over with quickly. Or we can really dig in and see what the Spirit has for each and every one of us today, realizing that God desires to use each one of us to minister to each other. It's not just a program. This is where the Spirit flows through each of us. So setting those expectations. There are some people in this small group, for example, who love to talk. And then there are some people in the group who do not want to talk at all. Well, I'm here to tell you, as a facilitator of your group, my job is to whoa those people down who like to talk and also call people out and begin to get them to share a little bit. So you can pretty much expect me to engage at times when I feel like a person's going a little bit too long, to pass it on to someone else, to give everyone an opportunity to share. And that's what we need to do, is be able to give everyone an opportunity to be comfortable and share. One of the critical pieces of any small group is confidentiality. You see, if we don't create an environment where people feel safe and secure, those masks and those walls are never going to come down. They never will. So you have to articulate it. And one of the things that I do in the small group is I'm very specific. I'll say, so can we all agree that everyone in this group is not going to talk to our other staff members or anything else about what's going on in our struggles here today? And I would go one by one and get an affirmation from every person. I will look them in the eyes and get the affirmation so that they know that I'm serious. And then I would simply go about the process of dialoguing with each person and asking each person to share. And if anybody has a comment, letting that go. But again, consciously being aware of the time. And so that's basically the job of a small group leader. But the last critical piece, absolutely critical, is the model. You have to provide the model. You have to let people see what it means to be in this small group. A quick story about a group of guys. I moved from Miami, Florida to Raleigh, North Carolina. And after the first year, I was starving. I wanted community. And so I found three other men who were the same age, married, little kids like me. And I asked them to engage with me in an 8-week long group, just for 8 weeks. After 8 weeks is done, we can decide whether we want to keep going, but I want you to commit to me for 8 weeks. And in that 8 weeks, we started to share. The very first day I got together, and we played out the expectations, and then I put myself on the table. Here's my struggle. And guy across from me looked at me and goes, well, you're serious about this. And I'm like, well, of course. I want us to get together so we can really grow. This is what we're called for, brothers and sisters. How do we lead people into deeper growth? What is the Lord doing in your life? So here's what we need you to do. We're going to put the questions up on the board. The next person who is going to be designated by my Hobbit brothers and sisters, you guys are going to be leading the rest of the group on these questions. You'll have about 13 minutes, give or take. On your mark, get set, go. You guys are getting better at this. I think we need to practice that one more time. Hands up. Much better. That means when your hand's up, your mouth shuts, right? Let's try that. Hands up. Someone is not paying attention. Okay, here we go. What we'd love to do is, we've got our roving mics walking around. I'm sorry to call you that. You are a sister and saint in the Lord. What we'd like to do is just get a table that would like to share something that is a challenge that you saw that was pretty common amongst the rest. Would love to have you raise your hand and try to just throw out a comment about what you're experiencing. That, here we go, right here in the center. Perfect. We'll go with this one first. Speak loudly so we can hear you there.
My name is John. I'm from St. Mary's in Charlotte. And the only reason I took this is because I know Lisa and I knew she wouldn't hit me. We want to share with you because what we found to be our positive happens to be the flip side of what is the biggest challenge. I almost said negative. We don't want to use that word. We found that many, many more people within the parish are becoming more engaged in the things that we try to do, are becoming deeper in their spirituality. But at the same time, the flip is that the people that are not in those little circles, the people that perhaps are new or on the fringes, but they're all the time, it's so difficult to engage with them. And perhaps it's our own fault because we don't step out and try to do it. At St. Gerard's in Lansing, they have a challenge or had a challenge going on where every person was challenged to go out and meet two people that they didn't know and simply engage with them. And that's working.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. In just one segment, one of the things that we've noticed is that we are so program dependent, we don't know how to do things on a one-on-one. And we're very accustomed to creating programs and saying, come, and you realize that the enemy has our number now, right? And that we really now have to turn around and go to them, even go to them in our own pews. And so that's going to be one of the things we really have to wrestle with, because it means we got to leave those comfort zones and all the rest of that. What do we got over there?
We got nothing.
Come on, people. Here we go, right here. Right here. Come, just raise your hand. Hold it up. There you go. No pressure. You have 11 seconds. He can't get to her. Okay, here we go.
Hi, I'm Carla Riley from St. Gerard in Lansing. And one of our challenges is that we are no longer the destination, that we're the stop on the way to the destination. And so many people are on their way to the athletic event,
amen,
or the party,
amen,
or somewhere else, and that church is just get it done and move, yeah, on.
Gotcha.
And we want to become the destination.
That's so true. Amen? Amen. Amen. You know, I'd love to take that hand, but wait, because we really need to move on to the next part.